So let's get into this. So the general, General Joshua, his time on the earth was just about gone. He was old and had many years, and he was about to deliver what would be the last word to his people. He had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He's leading them into the promised land, shaping them as a nation. He had walked with God for a long time. I was studying, and he had walked with his friend Caleb. And it was said in Scripture that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. That can be said for some of you. He said some things about Joshua in Numbers 27 and 18. That Joshua was a son of Nun, a man who in whom is the Spirit. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament was dwelling in him. Now that's saying something. But Joshua was such a man. Deuteronomy 34 and 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, full of God's spirit, full of courage, full of obedience, full of reverence. He was a true man of God. Let me give you some more background on Joshua. He served Moses, and when Moses died, he replaced Moses to lead those people, the Israelites, in the conquest of the promised land. He had quite a resume. He was one of the 12 that was sent to spy out the land, he and Caleb. And he came back with a good report. He came back, 10 came back with a bad report. But Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. They came back talking about these giants and they eating people. But Joshua came back with a report, we're well able to take the land. Amen. I'm talking about Joshua. He was the only man to ever pray to God for the sun to stand still. And the sun stood still a whole day. I think he was there when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. I'm talking about Joshua. He had military victory after military victory. He dealt with that terrible sin of Achan. Did the appropriate thing. He was a bad boy for God. He took care of God's business. So in his farewell address to the people, he gave them warnings in connection with their incomplete obedience to the Lord. He told them about the tragic consequences that were going to befall them if they continued to disobey the Lord. So it's important that we recognize that sometimes when you got to give that last word, you tell them what's important. You tell them what's in your heart. Have you ever been around somebody who was transitioning? They tell you the most important things that's in their heart. You tell your loved ones that I love you. I got a chance to tell my mother that before she passed. Told her that I loved her. People tell you about those things that they want you to know. They want to leave without you knowing those things. Those things are for you. Sometimes you'll hear some shocking things. They'll tell you the last minute. You know, tell you that's not really your daddy. They'll tell you the money is down in the basement under the floorboard. You get those final things that was important. But Joshua was nervous about these Israelites that he had led. All the other ones had fell in the desert because of their disobedience and rebellion. Joshua was leading the new jack Israelites, the young ones. Because sometimes we get old and we don't want to change. Sometimes we get old and we don't want to transition to what God is doing in this hour. So God had to let them go in the desert. That's a lesson for older folks. You got to transition to what God is doing at this time. We're talking about family. God has always been about family from the very beginning. He said, be fruitful and multiply in Genesis. He said, be fruitful and multiply and increase in number and fill the earth. He said, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. He said, take over. But then in Genesis 3, mankind had failed. But God didn't write us off. You know how when somebody upsets you, you write them off sometimes. I'm glad you're not God. But God didn't write them off. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He already anticipated your disobedience. He anticipated my disobedience. He was slain before the foundation of the world. But with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb, without spot or blemish, foreordained, God takes care of family. So as we look back at our scripture, God says, choose. He's not going to force it on you. He said, choose who you're going to serve. You know, sometimes, as Joshua knew, and that's why he gave this direction, that sometimes we can be fickle. We can be fickle with God. We get distracted. We get impatient. We make all kinds of demands. We don't want to do what God's called us to do. We're between two opinions. We're unstable sometimes in all our ways. But Joshua knew it was time to draw a line in the sand. He said, choose this day who you'll serve. How does that challenge sound to you today? He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose who you're going to serve. Because some of us are serving other gods. Some of us are serving our careers. That don't mean you shouldn't work. But you shouldn't be just serving your career, serving at that thing. Some of us are serving ourselves. And you can't worship God because you're sitting on the throne yourself. Some of us are serving for the praises of men or women. In fact, some of us is chasing men and women. And we're putting them before God. I hope that ain't nobody in here. Some people just, their whole persona's on social media. Some people chasing sports. They live for sports. They won't come to church if the game is on. Who are you serving? There's a lot of things, and we have to admit in our lives that are distracting. It can be distracting if you allow them to be distracting. You might not have any false gods, but maybe you're not stepping up the way you should be with the call that's on your life. And God is calling you to that. He's calling you to that. We need to have the strength and commitment of Joshua. He was committed. As for me and my house, let's talk about it. Serve the Lord. Our house, our families. What is a family? Let me give you a couple points on family. Family is about having a godly marriage. Now, I know I'm about to get in some trouble. God wanted to expand his family. He wanted stability. We need to marry that man, marry that woman, and not just live with them. Bible says that men should love their wives as Christ loves the church. Women are to honor their husbands. And that's easier said than done sometimes. Because it's difficult. Marriage is not easy. But it is important. Amen. We men have to learn to do nice things for our wives. That's how she'll stay with you. You can't just say you love her. You got to show her you love her. Amen. Amen. You got to sign that paperwork. So y'all running away from the paperwork. I'm going to say this. Uh-oh. They say, uh-oh. If you are living with somebody that you are not married to, if you have somebody living with you, that you're not marrying to. And I'm not talking about living for a little while. I'm talking about you done fell into this thing. I'm talking about you done just moved in. And you want the milk, but you don't want the cow. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking, you just sloppy with it. You need to stop it. And if he's living, you need to put him out today. Amen. Y'all can clap. Because what happens is the blessing can't really come on you. Because you're living in habitual, intentional, continual sin. And my hands aren't clean. But I know that when I did that, my life went crazy. Everything went wrong. Everything. Lost my job. I'm just saying. Money shut funny. Woman acting funny. Man, you got to work. As a family man, you're the priest of your house. And you need to get some money. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You got young guys out here, they playing video games. They don't want to go to work. They're chasing after rappers, looking for Snoop Doggy Dog, when you need to be looking for Jobby Job. We need to obey God for worse things to come upon you. Amen? Secondly, train up your children in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. You are to be a parent for them children. We don't do it perfectly, but you need to do it godly. We need to follow godly principles. You can't let the kids take over the house. I mean, hindsight is 20/20. If I knew better, I would have did better. So I know what happened. And they know what happened. The Bible says, bring your children up in the nurture and the love of God. For the divine call, you need to be bringing them up. It's not the school's responsibility to raise your kid. We like to put it on the school. It's not the church's job to raise your kid. I mean, we'll help you. We'll have Bible study and children's study so you can bring them in, help you with the word of God. But that's on you. Some of them little jokers that come into class in the back, I know the teachers be saying, Lord, have mercy. So that's number two. Well, as a family, you're going to be disciplined. Discipline is important. Number three, discipline. Many, you know, obey. People equate discipline and punishment as being the same thing. It's not. As parents, we have to be united together to deal with those kids. Because kids will try to play you one against the other. Or you have one parent that's trying to be some kid's friend instead of being a parent. And then you drive a wedge between you. You got to be careful of that. Discipline is for the family's safety and protection. Punishment should only occur with flagrant disobedience. And sometimes punishment is not always spanking. Sometimes it's just sitting down and having a conversation. Sometimes it's taking away that cell phone. Sometimes it's turning off that TV, getting up rid of that Facebook, Xbox, whatever they got, and shut them down. Shut them down. See, kids today, they get hung up on that stuff. So you have to watch your child and see what's important to him. Then when you start acting crazy, you snatch that thing. It's over. It's over. It's a wrap. And then, but that brings humility. Then they'll say, Dad, can I have my phone back? No, you can't have your phone back until we get to see you respect your mother. You know, it's important for boys to get this. These boys, see, they'll wrap their mamas. She'll be, oh, you little boochie coochie coo. No! You want to raise a man. Because what will happen if you don't raise that boy, he's going to be a mama's boy. He's going to be looking for some woman to take care of him. He ain't gonna want to work. He gonna be smoking. He gonna be blowing holes in the air while you go to work. How's my time? I got time. So you got to clamp down on them. You know, once they bigger than this, they start growing up. Next thing you know, they got a beard and a mustache. And trying to tell you what to do. And let me say this too. your son is not your man. You know, someone said, that's my little man. No, he ain't. That's your son. And you messing him up for some woman, he gonna expect not to have to do nothing. You gotta give him some work to do. And if he's staying at the house too long, I know I'm going long on this, but this is important. You know, he's been in the basement, now he's 27 years old. And he ain't got no intention of leaving. Because you provide everything. I tell you what my mama did to me. Because I talked back to her. I had my girlfriend over one day. And my mother said something to my girlfriend. I said, Mom, don't talk to her like that. She said, you and her can get out of here. So that's how I got my first apartment. Discipline. Number four, pray together as a family. Pray together as a family. Many times we get so busy, we don't pray. We get so, you know, we run and we do it. Everybody's busy. But you got to take some time to pray. You got to introduce them to God. You can't let busyness stop you from teaching your kids how to pray. Teach them some prayer. Making them pray at mealtime. Getting them to pray at nighttime. When I was on my way here today, I made Michael was in the car. I said, Mike, I need you to pray for me. Because I've been rolling all night to get back here, and I just need prayer. And Michael started praying. Daddy, bless the message. Daddy, keep them strong. Don't let them say nothing wrong. I already messed that up, so. But see, encouragement and love is important in a family. That is utmost important. You don't got to, anytime they make a mistake, you ain't got to beat them down to the ground and criticize them or compare them to their brothers and sisters. Well, he did this, you just ain't nothing. You know, no. You're breaking the kid down. Train and teach him. Talk to him. Let the kid explore himself. Let him make some mistakes. We so protective. Watch out for them. You should protect your kids because this is a different world. But you still got to let them find out who they are. You still got to let them make a couple of mistakes. And the other thing, you got to take the training wheels off. You know what I'm saying? When you learn how to ride a bike, you take the one training wheel off first. And then when you take the other one out, you got to run behind the bike to make sure they don't fall. But you got to take that training wheel off. He'll heal up, let him fall a little bit. He'll hold that bike up then. So now, the other last thing I got in this one is encouragement and love. This is the category of encouragement and love. Try not to act crazy around your kids. Okay, try not to let them see you acting crazy, okay? How about that? That's more realistic right there. See, me and Lisa, we go in the garage and have our argument, you know. Leave the kids in the house. Come out in the garage. I knew it was trouble there. Come on out in the garage. So, you know what? I know that most of you are mature Christian, but, you know, when you minister the word of God, you got to feed the babies. You got to feed those that are young in Christ. You got to feed those newlyweds that are struggling to find their way. Or those people, the singles and the teenagers. You got to feed the babies. But after you feed the babies, you got to feed the rest of them. Right? You don't want to come out of church with a milk mustache. You got to be some meat. And that's why I love this church, because we get milk and we get meat. Amen? So here comes some meat now. That was milk. So Joshua said, he was over 100 years old. The Bible record does not show, and I did look to try to find out if he had wife and kids. And there was some language that he might have had, but I don't see their names mentioned anywhere in there. I didn't see the names of any kids or anything. So he says, so what family is he talking about? What house is he talking about? He said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, you 100 years old, everybody dead. Yeah. See, what this is, this is for the grown-ups here and the teenagers right here. See, it's not just about your house. It's not just about your immediate family. See, he's talking about the house. He's talking about the house of Israel and the children of God. Those million people that were coming across to go into the promised land. That's his house. Amen. And it's just so important that we know that you are called. He was concerned about the nation of Israel. He was concerned about the ones that made it to the promised land. Because sometimes when you going into wealth and you got paid, you got a new job, you're making a little more money, you got a car that won't stop on you. Everything work in the car. That's a step for some folks. You got a house that's bigger than one room. You get there and you start getting stuff, and then sometimes we forget about the Lord. You got a little promotion on your job, and you got a little office, and now you forgot about the Lord. You got your degree, and then you got your master's degree. And now you think you all of that. And now you don't want to go to church. And now you go to church, but you don't want to do nothing in church. Is that serving the Lord? So we have to be careful that we don't let our high, lofty positions. You know, you didn't got a position at church, and now you know, you all that. You telling folks what to do. No. We got to maintain humility. So this family, this church is our family. This is my family right here. I know you all in different ways. We had different experiences together. We family. And I know some of y'all mad at me. And I'm mad at some of y'all too. But we family. That's what happens in family. We don't always agree or get along. But we still supposed to love each other. We still supposed to forgive each other. You give God some praise there. We still supposed to forgive each other. See, it's about AFCC, but it's wider than AFCC. It's that church down the street that preaches Jesus is Lord and to the glory of God. It's about that other church that do something a little bit different than you do, but they still love Jesus. That's family. Amen. So all these churches, then it's not just Springfield. It stretches across Illinois. It's a national church. Everyone that believes Jesus is part of that house that Joshua, for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. That's what we're talking about. We are family. We're a global family. It's not just the U.S. It's Mexico, Asia, Europe, Africa, Australia, Canada. It's everything. China, Russia. The Christians there is Christians in those nations, and they are part of your family. Some don't even speak our language, but we're called to worship Jesus as Lord and Savior. We're called to love each other and help each other. Amen. I mean, Jesus kind of made that clear in Matthew 12, 46 to 48. I'm going to read it. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. And somebody told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And he replied to them, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my mother and my sister." See, this doesn't mean disregard your family. But you know, don't get it twisted. God is concerned about his whole family. This doesn't mean that you still got to take, that's our reasonable service to take care of your family. That's normal. You're supposed to do that. But God said you need to be looking at some other things. You're not supposed to disregard family. But sometimes you push the lesser duty, you push up to take care of the greater duty. Go to Mark 10 for another indication of this. Mark 10, verse 28. Peter was, you know how Peter was. He complained a lot. He was a wow. They never did put Peter out to church, though. I think I'm more of a Peter than a Paul. Peter spoke up in verse 28. He says, "We have left everything for you to follow you." And Jesus said, truly I tell you, no one who has left home and brothers and sisters and mother and father and children and fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. You receive homes and brothers and sisters and mothers and fields along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. I don't mean leave your house, but that means you need to be aware that there's a hierarchy and God is first. You got to be balanced. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3 and 4, he says you must manage your own family well and see that the children obey and do it in a manner worthy of respect. Another scripture tells you that how can you manage the things of God if you ain't got your house together? You got some people, they ain't houses raggedy and they ain't running around in the church trying to do something. God is calling us to support family, encourage family, help family. I saw John Marshall back there. And I remember when John Marshall was in the hospital, we went to visit him. He's part of our Overcomers group, too. He had been down, sick. They had been talking about doing an amputation. But whose word are you going to believe? We went in there and prayed over John Marshall. John couldn't get out the bed. His leg was this big. They was trying to cut that. Wasn't that right, John?
Amen.
All right. And we prayed that thing came down. That thing came down. And now he come to Overcomers on Fridays. We are the support family. We're not blood brothers, but we God brothers. God is support. We're to support each other. We're not supposed to turn our backs on each other when somebody's in need. Now, I'm not going to let you just do anything. I'm going to use wisdom. But if you have a reasonable need, somebody in this church will help you meet that.
All right.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's about family. So now he says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what does this service look like? What is this service he's talking about? What's this service? It means one thing. What does my service look like? It means not being lazy. Being diligent in serving the Lord.
Thank you.
The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary.
All right. Hallelujah.
Our service needs to look like Jesus' service.
All right.
Don't be lazy. Get up and come to church, even when you don't feel like it. You don't know there's somebody here that needs you. When you miss it, part of the church, part of the family is missing. And you need to be there. You don't realize that people are important until they're missing, until they leave. You ever had somebody die suddenly and you didn't get a chance to tell them goodbye? I've had that happen to me several times. That's why now I'm more diligent about dealing with family. Yeah. I know I'm mad, but I'm going to call you up anyway. I know we had a little thing, but how you doing? I love you. You know what I'm saying? I've had that happen a few times, and it's just painful when you don't follow up with family. Be diligent. Second part of this is how you serve is that God has given you spiritual gifts. And many of us are not operating in those gifts. He gives you gifts to serve kingdom purposes. He energizes you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you disqualify yourself if you neglect family. But you still need to use your gifting to work in God's kingdom. Even when Jesus was 12 years old, he had an awareness. He got lost. He wasn't lost. His family lost him. And when they did find him 3 days later, y'all know what he said.
Yeah.
He said, you ain't know. I'm paraphrasing. You ain't know. I must be about my father's business. We need to be about daddy's business. So when you look at the scriptures and it lists out spiritual gifts, I'm not going to go through it. Maybe we'll teach on it another time. But it talks about prophecy. It talks about serving and teaching. It talks about giving. There's a gift of giving. You might not be doing nothing else, but you got a lot of money.
Come
That might be your calling, to be the giving. There's a gift of mercy. Everybody else is hating on that person, but you got the gift of mercy. You see something in them, and you comfort them. Then they got the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. It talks about words of wisdom and words of knowledge. You got to read this stuff. Gifts of healing and miracles and prophecy. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. God has given gifts in the church. They in here right now. It's in you. He's apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. God is calling you to those things. That's how you serve him. That's how you serve him. Some people have the gift of administration. You good in the office. Some people have the gift of helps. You just real helpful, and you know how to smile. Ain't nothing worse than a greeter that don't smile. I greet a smile up in here. They happy. Happy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Amen. We have to be ready to evangelize. God said, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's how you serve. I was in the church yesterday, and there was a man in here. I don't know if he's here today. But he was wandering around looking for Bible study. Just wandering around. You know, I was looking at him. You know, you got to use discernment of spirits. Wandering around, I say, man, what's up? That's how we talk sometimes, you know. He said, man, I'm looking for Bible study. I said, well, we ain't having Bible study today. We got one tomorrow at 9:30. You want to go to that? He said, man, I'm having problems. And I won't go into detail. But I'm having problems. I said, listen, now talk about it. We talked about it. Then Stefan walked up. And he discerned something. Stefan said, do you know the Lord? Just walked up and said it. I said, Stefan, he's getting ready to prophesy something. And I said, so I started digging in on this guy. So we talked, and the deacon meeting was going on upstairs. And so this guy seemed like he was ready to give his life to the Lord. You got to discern that. It might happen at work. It might happen outside while you're out somewhere. It could happen at the mall, anywhere. You got to be looking for people that's ready to give their life to the Lord. That's how you serve him, bringing people into the kingdom. Amen. So I took him upstairs, and the deacons got a hold of him. And they laid hands on him. They started praying. Next thing you know, he gave his life to the Lord right there. Amen. Amen. You know that Jesus is the answer to every problem. And he's the solution to every situation. Amen. So Joshua, back to Joshua. He says he you serve God. How you serve him? By loving God and loving others. Sometimes we can be so hateful. I know some stuff happened to you in the past. I know you had some disappointments, but you ain't got to look like that. And it's hard to do some of this stuff, but it's only you can't do it in your own strength. You can't love some people in your own strength. You can't stay married in your own strength. It's one word, grace. The grace of God. Because of God's grace, we are invited to relationship with God. It takes grace to deal with your children. It takes love. You got to love them, but you need grace because they will push you to the edge. Let me put my Bible down, you know. Because you want to do something to them. They make you so mad. But don't do it. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need to follow those two commandments of God. The two greatest commandments. Love him and love them. Because of God's grace, he came and he died for us. He bridged that gap between us and God. And now you're invited to a relationship with God. You're invited to a reunion with the Holy One. Amen. He gives us grace to serve. We can't do this on our own. You need the Holy Spirit. You can try and try and try and you will fail every time until you accept God. You need him. The Bible says that I can do all things through God who gives me the strength. Joshua, he was quite a man, and he realized these things. Without God's grace and without being in relationship, we cannot serve him. We cannot maintain a family. Joshua had a powerful spiritual influence upon those people. Even if it was my last day, I'd ask God, I'd say, God, I just want to finish well. I just want to finish well. I didn't start off well. I had some crazy stuff that happened in the middle. But I just want to finish well. I've repented and I've grown and I've allowed the Holy Spirit come in and change my nature. Back in the day, you wouldn't have wanted to know me. God is a God. Point four, he's a God of restoration. How's my time? He'll restore you and your family as you obey him and as you serve him. Can we go to Joel 2 and 25? God says, and I will restore to you the years. How many got some years they lost? That the locust and the canker worm and the palmer worm and that great, they ate you up. Hallelujah. That great army that he sent. He says in verse 27, he says, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall not be ashamed. And then he says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon your servants and your handmaids. He said, I'm going to pour it out on everybody. Everybody's going to get my spirit. You've lost some things. God says, I want to restore. You've had some injuries to your family. You have some trouble in your marriage. Y'all about to break up. Lean on God. Lean on God. Lean on God. The kids is acting up, but just make them get on their knees together in the living room and just go down on your knees and pray and lay hands and stand. Men, stand up and just be the priest of your house sometimes. Stop all that hollering, screaming, and cussing and get on your knees. God will restore your flesh. He'll restore your situation. He'll restore. He's a God of compassion and mercy. He's going to restore you when you fall. He says a good man falls 7 times and he gets back up again. If you've got challenges in your health, God says, I'll restore that. If you've got challenges in your finances, God says, I'll restore that. You got some damage in your mind. That joker drove you crazy. God says, I'll restore your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through today, be sure that God is a God who wants to restore your family. He wants to restore you. Amen. One final scripture. John 5. John chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the festivals, the Jewish festivals. And now there was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which they called Bethesda, which was surrounded by 5 colored colonnades. And here's a great number of disabled people that used to lie there, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was an invalid had been there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, and he asked him a question. Do you want to get well? And we need to ask ourselves a question. We've been in this situation. Some of us have been in situations for years. And you keep saying, I would do it if I could do it. I might do it if that wasn't wrong. Stop making excuses. Yeah. Do you want it? Yeah. Jesus said, he started making excuses. He said, sir, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water is stirred. And when I'm about to get in, someone goes down ahead of me. So you picture you laying on the ground, crippled. In the pool, the angel comes down and healing is 2 feet away from you. Man, I'd roll in that pool if I had to. You've been sitting there waiting on somebody to push you. I'd just get a friend and just kick you over to the pool. Jesus said, rise, pick up your bed and walk. Yeah. Say it, rise. Pick up your bed. And walk. God is calling us to grab hold of what he's been there all the time. See, the pool of the Bethesda is there, and the angel had to come. But now the pool of Bethesda, when Jesus went to the cross and he sent back the gift of the Holy Ghost, now the pool of Bethesda is on the inside of you. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. So now you ain't got to jump in the pool. It's living in the inside of you. All you got to do is stir that thing up. You got to stir it up. You got to stir up them gifts. You got to forget about leaving those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. I'm going to press toward the mark of the prize to come. You've been out in the outer court too long. It's time to stir up that thing and stir up your pool of Bethesda and operate in your gifts and find something to do at the church house. Find something to do in some mission somewhere. Your family is all over. You got unlimited opportunities. I don't know what I'm called to. I can't figure out. Well, do something. Joshua, for me and my house. Yeah. See, he was nervous about those people that was going to promised land. You know how you get. Be singing that song, I'm all the way up. I'm all the way up. And we start feeling like that. Don't forget about God when you go up. Don't forget about God when he starts blessing you and pouring out stuff on you. Don't get your nose up in the air because you got your first pair of red bottoms. Don't get upset. Now, usually when I start talking about stuff like that, I just look up at the lights because invariably somebody said, you was looking at me. I was talking about hair, and I don't talk about hair anymore because I had four people come up to me and say, you was looking at me when you said that. So I do this. I look up at the lights. All right, I'm gonna finish up here. I'm gonna finish. So John tells you, God says, pick up your bed and walk. You got rebuked for, you've been scared for too long. You've been holding back, holding yourself. Rise up. He said, rise. Rise. Pick up your bed. And walk. You got to rise up and do what God called you to do. You got to rise up to be the priest of your household. You got to rise up and take care of them kids you've been neglecting. You got to rise up and choose this day who you will serve. We got to make sure we're serving the Lord. Amen? Don't serve nothing but the Lord. Make him first. Go out into the world. Talk to them people. Preach the gospel to every creature. Rise up and cast out an evil spirit. The Bible says that these things follow them that believe. Do you believe? Amen. Well, then we should be doing some stuff. Amen? Amen. Serve him. Serve him. Serve him. The Lord is saying in this hour, and I'm concluding. The Lord is speaking to us in this hour. He says, I'm causing you to rise up and put aside the fear and put aside the hesitation and put aside the excuses. He says, I'm causing you to rise up and pick up that bed. He says, I'm causing you to rise up because you are physically healed right now. You are emotionally healed right now. You are spiritually healed right now. He says, I'm calling the injured. I'm calling the hurting. I'm calling those people that have been confused in their minds. He says, stir up the pool of Bethesda that's on the inside. You don't need the angel to stir it up. You stir it up. Oh, God. Sometimes you got to break out in your prayer language. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to begin to stir that thing up and begin to activate that Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you.